This is Howard Hughes. Howard Hughes.
BBC Radio Berkshire, this is Howard Hughes here, Saturday morning as ever. Bright and chirpy as we can make it on this Saturday morning. It's been quite a nice week too, hasn't it? I wonder what kind of week it's been in the world of technology. There's only one person who can definitively answer that, and that is the gadget detective, Fevzi Turkalp. Fevzi, thank you very much for doing this.
Good morning.
How are you, Fevzi? Is life good?
All right, thank you. Yeah, I'm good.
Now, cybersecurity. I had a feeling that all these stories about people's phones and computers being hijacked for a ransom had gone away because they haven't really made the news over the last few months until this week.
Yeah, actually, it is the reverse. Ransomware is on the increase, and that's where a computer or now another connected device, so a smartphone, watch, television or fitness tracker, can be infected by a virus. And then what that virus does is it secretly locks every file on there. It scrambles every file on there. So you can imagine everything in your smartphone or even, you know, your fitness data, which is obviously private and valuable to some, or what their television sets spy about our daily lives. These things can be scrambled and then ransomed back to us. So typically it happened on computers. They would scramble every file on your computer, which would include, you know, photos of long departed loved ones or that script you've been working on for 6 years but haven't quite finished. All those sorts of things get scrambled and then ransomed back to you. And this has been going for a few years, but the thing is, it's really making criminals a lot of money, which means that there's more and more of it going on. So first of all, the tools are getting more sophisticated. In addition to that, with these internet-connected devices, they don't have decent security. Companies that make smartwatches don't necessarily know how to secure them. Companies that make fitness trackers don't necessarily know how to secure them.
But in the case of, say, a smartphone, you can get your antivirus on that, which I have on my phone. Is that going to protect and defend me from this?
Only to an extent. Only to an extent. The only real protection from ransomware is to have a separate backup of your data so that if you do get infected and your data gets scrambled, that you can at least go back to that. But even that is increasingly tricky because, first of all, you have to connect a drive or somehow back up that device to something else. When it's connected to that something else, if you have a current infection of ransomware, it could scramble the backup as well. So there's no 100% protection on this. People use things like online backups, things like Dropbox and so forth. But even with those, there are new versions of this software that can now reach into the online backups as well.
And let's be fair, the people who do this, you know, need to be facing ever stiffer penalties. They need to be catching them and they need to be locking them up for a long time.
Well, you know, look, that's tricky. It's interesting that four people were charged for the Yahoo hack and three of them are Russians that will probably never face trial.
All right, story about driverless cars.
Yeah, so this is a report by the Lords, House of Lords Science and Technology Committee, which kind of sounds like an oxymoron, but yes, they have a Science and Technology Committee. And they have come up with a report that looked into driverless vehicles or automated vehicles, and they have spotted something that I think a lot of us have suspected for a while, which is that some of them are not great because there are different levels. There's level 0 to level 5. So a level 0 vehicle is a normal car with no automation at all. Level 5 is a fully automated vehicle, but there are, you know, all the levels between those in terms of the degree of automation. So for example, a level 3 car would be a car that generally can drive itself, but when it gets into trouble, you have to quickly take over, hit the brakes or swerve. Now, the problem with that is if the level 3 car is doing reasonably good job, you know, 99.99% of the time, which it possibly would do, you're probably at the point when you're about to hit something, doing the crossword or checking out your email or watching a YouTube video or something like that, because it effectively becomes like you become like the passenger in a cab. And you know, most of us in a cab wouldn't be well prepared to sort of jump into the front seat, as it were, and take over the vehicle.
Well, I don't know. I mean, look, this technology is either functional or it isn't. You know, is it a driverless car or isn't it?
Well, That's the thing, because the technology is developing, it's very hard at the moment to have really good level 5 vehicles, and level 3 and so forth is seen as a step towards level 5. But I think you're right. I think they ultimately need to be one thing or the other. I mean, you know, you wouldn't have that on an aircraft. I mean, I know you have autopilot, but it's not quite the same thing.
And the over-reliance on technology, I was watching one of these disaster things on Discovery a couple of weeks ago that said that pilots are now being retrained not to be over-reliant on the technology because there have been some air crashes caused by the pilots thinking the technology could not be wrong.
Well, you know, the aircraft industry and civil aviation industry is amazingly good at learning from mistakes. You know, when something goes wrong, they have this sort of blameless environment where pilots can come forward and with mistakes that they've made and not necessarily be punished for it.
We're going to have to skip forward to the gadget of the week if we can, Fevzi, and yep. Another big launch imminent, you believe, from Apple.
Yeah, it's really just a warning. If you're about to buy yourself an Apple iPad tablet, it might be worth holding off for a few days, because it is expected that new iPad Pro tablets will be announced as early as next week. We're not sure exactly when, but they've been... So these new every tablet from Apple has a unique identifier, and when it goes online, you can detect the identifier, and some of unknown identifiers have started to appear, which means that the new iPads are imminent. It's expected, and none of this is confirmed, but expected there'll be a new 9.7-inch iPad Pro. The 12.9-inch iPad Pro will be updated with faster processor, faster graphics, true tone display, which means that the display will correspond to the lighting in your environment, so it won't be so harsh on the eyes, true tone flash, and an improved Apple Pencil. There may also be a new iPad Mini, I hope. And most interestingly, and this one may not launch at the same time as the other ones, there is to be a new bezel-less designed iPad. So the bezel is the frame around it. So, you know, you have the screen and you have a big black area, typically, or a white area around the screen. That's going to get very thin on a new one. So it will mean that they will have an iPad that's more or less the same size as the standard 9.7-inch iPad, but it will have a 10.5-inch screen shoehorned into it.
Which is becoming a bit of a trend. We're out of time, Fevzi. Thank you very much. If people want to commune with you, ask you questions about stuff, where do they go?
Come and say hello on Twitter at Gadget Detective.
Thank you. Fevzi Turkup, the definitive gadget detective, is here every week at BBC Radio Berkshire with myself, Howard Hughes.